Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, the first thing I want to talk about is something that we briefly discussed last night, which was euthanasia. And, of course, there seems to be an appetite for it now, because New Zealand lawmakers have voted in favour of making euthanasia legal, paving the way for what they have next year, a referendum, because they would have to have a referendum for constitutional change. Now, we were talking about this earlier on in the office, myself and Tara actually had a chat about this, about the legalities of this, and we think there may not even need to be a referendum in this country, that the Oireachtas themselves could legislate, because that was suggested, by the way, in the Marie Fleming case. The justice did say at the time that there was nothing to stop the Oireachtas from legislating to deal with cases such as the one, the Marie Fleming case, once it was happy that appropriate safeguards could be introduced. So you may not even need a referendum. But let's base this argument and debate on the fact that we may need a referendum, or we may need to adjust the constitution. And so we're going to base it on that, because we don't, it's very intricate. You know, I mean, it depends on the Supreme Court and what they believe would be acceptable according to our constitution. Now, while MPs voted, protesters gathered outside in New Zealand and staged a vigil outside Parliament. And some of the placards read, assist to live, not to die. And euthanasia is not the solution. Now, euthanasia and assisted suicide is legally available in Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and in six US states as well. So now, Ireland, we're one of those countries who look at other countries all the time. And we always want to be progressive, isn't that what we want to be? And we tend to follow suit. And this is all over the news today. It's in the journal.ie, ran a poll on it. And outstandingly, 80-something percent. Now, I wouldn't take that too seriously, because the Journal has a very liberal readership. But 80% said yes, they would like to see assisted suicide or euthanasia. For those who don't know exactly what assisted suicide or euthanasia is, it's to be allowed to assist somebody to die. Some people are so terminally ill or so sick, or maybe just want assistance, that they want to be prescribed a tablet or tablets or an injection or whatever means possible by a qualified doctor and supervised by a qualified doctor to end their life peacefully. In other words, to go asleep and just not wake up again. And the only option you have in this country, sadly, is to take your own life. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on as well. And we'll give you some phone numbers if you feel the need to talk to somebody in relation to that. But as it is illegal in this country to assist somebody to die. And we have had one or two cases in this country where people have tried to assist people to die and ended up in the High Court being charged with murder, because that's essentially what it is in this country. So should we change the law? I understand asking this question will have a very polarising effect, but we have all seen someone suffer unfairly due to a long-term illness. We've all, most of us probably at my age, have seen somebody in hospital gasping for breath before they die. And a lot of us have said, gosh, you know, we wouldn't let an animal suffer this way, but we would let a human being do it. And that's the argument for assisted suicide and euthanasia. The opposite argument is that if we allow it, we are somehow devaluing people who are unwell, may have disability, long-term disability, terminal illnesses, and people who are elderly, that we're devaluing their lives, because people who are elderly may feel somehow that they're a burden on people and that maybe they'd be better off just gone. And that's the argument against it. And of course, there's the religious argument against it, that God is the only one who brings us into the world, so God is the only one who should take us away. I want to know what you think. Are you a doctor? If this was implemented, how would you feel about performing the procedure, i.e., you know, administering the medication that would allow somebody to die? Because, of course, you take an oath to keep people alive. So I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Should euthanasia be legalised in Ireland? So here you are. Let's pretend it's a referendum, right? And you're at a poll. And the question is, should euthanasia be legalised for those who are terminally ill in this country, provided, of course, it is, you know, certified by, say, two doctors that this person is terminally ill? Should a person be allowed to die with dignity? Isn't that the words they use? Let me know. 087-188-0008. Yes, you would vote yes or you would vote no. Let's take a little poll. I want you just to text or WhatsApp the word yes or no to 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. And let me know how you would vote in that. Niamh, you are the voice of reason, generally.
Generally.
Yeah, but there's two sides to this argument, isn't there, really?
There's two sides to it, but I think it's a really difficult one. I think out of all the things that we voted on that have had two sides, I think this is one of the most difficult ones, because nobody wants to see anyone in pain. and no one wants to see anyone dying in agony. But yes, you love that person, you don't want them to go. It's a really difficult one for people who are dealing with this. And I think it's so easy to have a conversation sort of in isolation when it's not here and we're not dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think, you know, put on the spot, I would vote yes, that I would like people to be able to have the choice, just like everything else, that we've given choices in so many things. This is kind of the last taboo almost.
It is. Well, it is kind of the last. And even without New Zealand, this probably will happen in the next few years anyway. Either way, whatever way people want, you know.
I was thinking yesterday, this is probably going to be our next referendum, to be honest, if we even need a referendum. I didn't realise we didn't.
Yeah, we may not need a referendum, you know, because now I'm going to read it exactly what the Supreme, just for people's interest, what the Supreme Court said in relation to Mary Fleming, or the High Court, should I say. According to the court, they concluded that there is no constitutional right to which the state, including the courts, must protect and vindicate, either to commit suicide or to arrange for termination of one's life at a time of one's choosing. And summing up, the judge said that what had become evident and all to all in the room was the court was dismissing the appeal. In conclusion, for the reasons given, the court would dismiss the appeal of the appealant in this very tragic case. Of course, is the case of Mary Fleming. And there was silence in the courtroom. Mary's family, seated on the bench in a small room, did not visibly react. But Judge Susan Denham said there was nothing to stop the Oireachtas from legislating to deal with such cases as this once. It was happy that the appropriate safeguards would be put in place. In other words, she believes, obviously the judge believes, that the Oireachtas could deal with it, but we'd have to wait and see. There could be objections to that or appeals against that. So
I think there will be. Yeah, there'll probably be, it'll be a little bit of a road before something comes in. But I think it's a really tough one. It really is. It's something that we would probably, in theory, all like until we're presented with it. You know, until we or somebody like us has to make the decision. I mean, if you're Mary Fleming was such a hard case because she really was suffering. And no, you know, you said it yourself, you wouldn't make an animal go through the suffering. We have ways of helping them. And I think in a lot of situations when somebody does then take their own life because they're suffering, they don't perhaps, as the person doing it, they don't want their family to have that on the death certificate. You know, there is still that status of suicide too, even though there shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Death by misadventure, death by suicide. They don't want their family to have that so-called stigma to them, that this is what happened to their loved one. And if, you know, I don't know how doctors would feel about it, because as you say, they do take an oath. But we do already have do not resuscitate orders.
Mm-hmm. Well, do not resuscitate is different because you're going to die anyway if there is no intervention.
But I think in a lot of cases, these people are going to die.
Yeah, but over a longer period of time. So if you've got somebody, you know, with 6 months to live and they may be in a lot of pain, you know, and they're terminally ill, maybe they have, I don't know, a brain tumour, whatever it happens to be, and they're terminally ill, and there's no chance of recovery according and certified by doctors, well then, you know, that person might say, well, look, I don't want to go through 6 months of pain.
Yeah,
I don't want to get to a point. And while there's still corpus mentis, because I'm assuming that would have to be one of the rules to this,
yeah,
that you would have to be...
Mind. Yes. Absolutely.
So, you know, somebody who happens to have Alzheimer's, for example, or whatever, or happens to have a mental health problem, they can't obviously make that decision. So,
I think if it was me and I was presented with this, God forbid, this future, and I could see my future of, you know, hospital bed, being tube fed, being very ill and causing my family immense distress, I would hope that if it was in, I'd be brave enough to take the step.
See what you've just said here. You said hoping that I wouldn't cause my family immense distress, right?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you're devaluing yourself because you feel that, and this is what this could do, and this is the argument against it, is that people will believe that they're a burden on others, and we should never feel like that. Because, you know what I mean?
There is that. But also, I mean, in fairness, Niall, I would be terrified of ending like that, you know, and being in that much pain. And
losing your dignity, so to speak.
Yeah, and the doctor's hands are tied. I mean, it's not their fault. They do their absolute best. Hospices do their absolute best, and they're wonderful people. But they can't. There's only so much medical science can do for a person. You know, there's morphine, there's whatever. But it's an awful end. And for anyone going through it, I feel so sorry for them. But it's a very tough one. I don't think out of all the referendums we've had, from gay marriage to even to abortion, I don't think this one is going to be as black and white. I think there's going to be a lot of people very upset about it, you know, from religious point of views, from moral point of views. I think it's going to be a tough one. If it went to the people, I think it might pass.
I don't know. I'm looking at the texts and WhatsApp messages here, and I'm just looking. Yes, 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 no. Yes, 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 no. So realistically, the majority of people texting in and WhatsApping in are saying they would vote yes in favour. But now, maybe, again, you know, we haven't got to a referendum point. They haven't heard both sides of the argument. They haven't heard all the arguments thrown in and out, which I'm sure would happen. But let me just go to Audrey. Audrey, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Audrey?
How you doing? I agree with everything that Niamh said, because it is a tough decision. But if you're going to be left in pain and, you know, and their family see you suffering, it's horrendous. Because, I mean, my mother had Alzheimer's and she couldn't walk or talk. She was just lying in the bed. It was awful. And she died in the end, naturally. But, you know, it's horrendous.
I spoke to somebody recently whose mother had Alzheimer's, and she said that she felt her mother had died 2 years previous to the day she died.
Yeah.
And that was the way she worded it to me, because she said
it
was just a body lying there with eyes moving every now and again and not knowing who anybody was. And I know, but again, we can't get inside the mind of that person. Maybe that person is happy. Maybe they do see people. Maybe they do recognise people, but just can't articulate that. I don't know. So we don't understand it. We don't have the wherewithal or the scientific, you know, measurements to understand that.
Yeah.
And it would be very wrong of us to suggest even that somebody with Alzheimer's could choose that, because they can't, obviously, because they don't.
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah. But if somebody was of sound mental state, do you believe they should be allowed to?
If that was her decision.
Could you do it, Audrey? If your mother, and I'm assuming, sorry, you didn't mention, but I'm assuming your mother's passed away since, has she?
Oh, she is, years,
okay. So if your mother, let's say it wasn't Alzheimer's, let's say it was something that was degenerate, but that was terminal, but she was of sound mind, and she was lying there in pain, in a bed, in palliative care maybe, right? And you're sitting there, and she turned around to you and said to you, there's two tablets over there on that desk, and there's a glass of water. And you could legally do it. There's no law against you doing it. And because I can't move my arms, Audrey, can you pass them to me so that I could go asleep and not wake up again?
Not wake up. It'd be awful. I'd hate to do it.
Would you do
it for
her?
But for her, if she was in pain and she like that in sound mind, you know, I would. That sounds awful.
But I mean, that's realistically what euthanasia is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's helping somebody who can't do it themselves, rather than starve to death, who can't do it themselves, because unfortunately, Mary Fleming's case, I think that's exactly what had to happen. Literally, because she couldn't be assisted, she had to starve herself to death.
Yeah, it's horrendous, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, it'll be a hard, and he said it'll be a hard decision for the whole,
So you think it'll be a yes? It'll be a yes. You'll be signing the yes form.
I would. Yeah,
okay.
I would.
Okay.
I wouldn't like anybody to see
to suffer
lying there. Yeah.
Well, see, you're saying the same thing as Niamh. You wouldn't like anybody to see you lie there suffer. So you're thinking of other people, not yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
But so why do we believe we're a burden on people?
I just don't know. It's just the way we are.
Mm.
You know, we're caring human beings. We don't.
And have you got children yourself?
Oh, I do, yeah. They're 27 and 23
this
month.
And you have a long time to go yet, Audrey, but when you're in your deathbed, you wouldn't like to be a burden, or you're unwell as you get older.
I wouldn't.
You don't want to be a burden on them. But they were a burden on you when they were babies. And you didn't mind. They probably still are financially a burden on you now.
They are. Even though they're working.
Yeah, but they were a burden on you when you were babies, but you didn't mind. You changed their nappies. You looked after them.
We did. I loved them to bits. I still do.
And I'm assuming they feel the same way about you. So I don't think they'd mind, you know, having to look after you in your older years.
Well, I hope they won't, wouldn't.
No.
Jesus.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Audrey and Niamh. Let me go to Malachy. And I spoke to Malachy last night. And Malachy, only after speaking to you last night, of course, the journals are running a poll today. So I suppose the ball is already rolling now, isn't it?
Well, of course, the journal would be well on message for this, just as they are on every other so-called progressive issue, which I would say are regressive issues rather than progressive. Because it seems now that we want to create a society where at the beginning of life we remove anybody who isn't going to have a 100% perfect life, or somebody who's not wanted. And at the end of life, we're now saying that we want to remove people who are a burden on us or people who are...
But we're not removing them, they're removing themselves. Well, it'll have to be their choice.
Well, does it?
Well, it does. I mean, I'm not going to turn around and say, you know, me 80-year-old mother's not well, doctor, can you pop her a few tablets there so we can get rid of her so I can get some inheritance? That's not going to happen.
Do you not think so?
No, I don't think so.
Well, human nature as it is, and the amount of greed and that's out in society, that will be an issue that will arise. And that people, it will start off at people making a decision themselves, then it will be doctors or medical professionals making the decision, and then ultimately down the road it will be family members or people who are possibly likely to inherit or people who just don't want the hassle of looking after somebody. You know, are we to say, you know, people who are diagnosed with cancer today, why bother treating them then if they're going to die in 6 months or 2 year or 3 year? Just put them down now, because that's the logic of what people are saying.
Well, it's not. It's not really the logic of what people are saying, because you're looking at the sky falling in, which, by the way, was suggested during the marriage referendum as well, or the marriage equality referendum, that the sky would fall in somehow. Look, the sky didn't fall in. A lot of gay people got married in the first year. There wasn't as many this year, and you know, going forward, the numbers will probably be the same, if not dwindle. So the sky didn't fall in. Everybody didn't suddenly run out and be gay.
People argued that the sky would fall in relation to that particular referendum. But what we did say during the abortion referendum is that the numbers would increase from the numbers that the state were arguing were being carried out at that stage. And we have seen a huge increase. And only yesterday, for instance, if you listen to the Master of the Rotunda talking about the urgent need for more space for perinatal units within the hospital, he says that, for instance, premature babies are a metre apart when they should be at least 3 metres apart in incubators for to stop infection. Yet the same hospital has no difficulty and the state has no difficulty in providing the space to carry out abortion. So there's something contradictory in the life that we're creating and the society that we're creating, where we're saying that people who we deem have no value or who deem themselves to have no value can be removed by medical
science. So what you're saying is similar to what Audrey had said and Niamh said, who's still there, that somehow we believe this will concrete this idea that we believe we might be a burden to people.
Well, you see, who am I to question your quality of life? That's a matter for you, right? I can't say because somebody, for instance, is lying in a bed and can't get out, that they don't have a quality of life which, you know, they may enjoy or, you know, or not enjoy, but that they maybe say, well, this is my life and that's the way it is. Everybody doesn't have a perfect life.
Yeah, but again, you're coming back to you making the decision.
Oh, no.
I mean, when you talk about euthanasia, the person themselves, if you go to Dignitas or any of those places, for example, you must make the decision. And it must be a qualified decision.
Hold on. It's qualified on the basis. Like, again, we can go back to what's qualified. People qualify their decisions based on the information they're given. The people in this country voted, by and large, for abortion because they were told Savita died because she couldn't get an abortion, when that has been clearly shown to be untrue. So people's qualified decisions are based on the professional evidence or the professional advice that they're given, which may not be right.
Well, let me just ask, Niamh, I mean, Maliki makes a strong argument for anything in the past that we've ever legalised. You know, over time, the goalposts move. And, you know, and all of a sudden, by the time we get 20 years down the road, people will be able to make decisions for other people who are sick.
Once we sign
the dotted line and say this is okay.
That is probably true, but I mean, I think if you look at country, I mean, there's very few where it is allowable.
No, there's more and more countries that have been added to it. You know, I mean, there's quite a few countries now. You've got Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Switzerland, US states.
I don't believe for one minute that
Hang on, Maliki. Sorry, Niamh, go ahead.
I don't believe that any doctor would deem anybody a burden, or, you know, they have taken an oath. They are professional people. They, you know, you go to your doctor and you trust your doctor because he is there to give you, you know, unbiased views on your health, you know. And but you know, if you
are biased.
Yeah, can I just finish, Maliki? Is that okay? You know, you keep bringing up abortion and you say that, you know, oh, there's abortions have gone up. Yes, of course they have, because people no longer have to travel. And now there isn't the financial burden on people who had to do it before, who had to continue with the pregnancy before because they perhaps couldn't afford to travel. But this isn't about abortion; it's about euthanasia, a completely different thing. And it is something. It's something that people themselves will have to decide upon with doctors, with psychiatrists, with proper advice, and it must be something that they have come to in their own mind. And if anyone pushes them into it, they should be taken to court.
Yeah, sorry, hang on, because I'm going to go to a break in a second, but I just want Malachy to reply to the point you've made. Sorry.
We don't have enough psychologists or psychiatrists to deal with the huge mental problems that teenagers and adults have at this stage already. If you look at what's happening right throughout Europe, do you think it's acceptable that a 15-year-old, for instance, could decide that they want to end their life? And if that's the case, then why bother having places like Pieta House and that?
This is in Belgium, when a 15-year-old's parents decided on his behalf for euthanasia.
And it was upheld by the courts.
I mean, I'm not necessarily agreeing with Malachy, but I find that concerning, that a 15-year-old's parents could make a decision on his behalf as a guardian that he would be referred for euthanasia.
That he would be killed.
But to say that in isolation,
he was profoundly disabled. That's all the information that was ever given out about the story, that he was profoundly disabled.
That is something, you know, nobody would that wouldn't sit right with anyone. But however, we don't have the information. We have one sentence about that boy or girl.
There was, unfortunately, that we don't know if it was a boy or a girl. Actually, Malachy said it was a boy, but as far as I remember, Malachy, they never stated whether it was a boy or a girl.
It was a teenager.
And they never stated what was wrong with the child. The reason was to remain so they could remain anonymous. But they did say was the child had a profound disability.
That sounds incredibly emotive when it's put like that, but without knowing the facts of that case, you can't use it.
It would make a difference then, would it? So it's okay.
It quite obviously made a difference to his or her parents and to whoever allowed it.
It's okay for his parents then, the parents of a 15-year-old child, to decide that child should be put down.
Using words like put down, Malachy, that's ridiculous.
What else would you call
that's
it?
Just, it's called
that's
a suicide.
That's what you do with a dog.
Suicide.
A human being.
It's not, you don't put him, he wasn't put down. I mean, stop using stupid words to try and, you know, get a reaction.
The fact is that you cannot bring words like euthanasia, because that is the word.
And you can't bring an isolated case in and try and use that. We don't have information about that case.
But Niamh, you know, in fairness, there was isolated cases used in the abortion referendum to get people to vote yes. So isolated cases will be used on both sides if this ever comes to, I suppose, a referendum situation. So isolated cases will be used. And the point that Malachy is making is that if you legalise euthanasia, do you put an age limit on it? Well, then somebody appeal that and say, well, what about my 15-year-old child? And my 15-year-old child can't make a decision under the age of 18, so as guardians, can we make that decision for them? There will be so many appeals and questions. Once you go down that road, it is open to different, you know, ways it could be abused, like everything.
My attitude to that now would be that if it is abused, and if it is found to be abused, well then, yes, it should become a criminal case.
Okay, well, I've got to take a break. Stay there, please, if you can. Loads and loads of texts coming in. The number is 087-188-0008. So far in our poll, 67% of people are saying yes. The rest of you saying no. Would you vote yes or no for assisted suicide or assisted dying or euthanasia, whatever word is comfortable with you? Would you vote yes? Somebody says, assisted dying is happening every day in hospitals through morphine pumps. That dosage is usually too high. When my grandfather was dying in the UK at home, her doctor told us to give her liquid morphine based on her weight, which was overprescribed and brought on her death quickly. Yes, we all know that. We all know that, but it's not quite the same thing. At that stage, what happens is the morphine, you kind of overdose on morphine to kill the pain, but of course the overdose of morphine in itself assists all the organs in shutting down. And it does bring about death a little bit quicker, but that would be usually in the very final stages. I suppose when we talk about euthanasia, we would be talking about somebody who maybe has 6 months to live and they would want to make that decision there, then, you know, 6 months before they were kind of due to die, or 6 weeks before they're due to die. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Yes, the debate has started. Only no sooner have we had marriage equality, then we had a referendum on abortion and many other referendums in between, including divorce. And now, of course, I suppose the end result is we need to have the referendum, or if it's needed. I don't know whether a referendum is actually needed or not, but the discussion certainly and the debate around euthanasia in Ireland after they've decided to have a referendum in New Zealand as well. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Just before I go to Roisin, actually, Malachy, in relation to the legality, because you as a solicitor would know more about the legality of it, although I know you study family law more so than this, do we need a referendum?
I'm not so sure. I think, just off the top of my head, that, you know, there is a prohibition in the Constitution of against killing people, except in accordance with law.
Well, Justice Susan Denham said in the Mary Fleming case, she said there was nothing to stop the Oireachtas from legislating to deal with cases such as this one, including the Mary Fleming case, and it was happy, once it was happy, the appropriate safeguards could be introduced.
Yeah, well, that would be right. That would mean you wouldn't need a referendum.
Right, okay.
But I think on this issue that they would... I don't think any government would go as far as to bring in this type of legislation.
With some sort of a public consultation.
Although, well, they may, what they would probably do is throw it out to the Constitutional Convention, that nonsense grouping, then make a decision and then perhaps bring in legislation without a referendum. But
just what was confusing in the Mary Fleming case, because she also did say, accordingly, the court concludes that there is no constitutional right to which the state, including the courts, must protect and vindicate, either to commit suicide or to arrange for the termination of one's own life at a time of one's choosing.
Yeah, but that's a different thing to somebody else terminating your life.
Okay, well, say there. You know, I understand what you're saying, because technically in law and the Constitution at the moment, that's murder. Okay, so let me go to Roisin. Roisin, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Roisin, your mum has MS.
She does.
Okay, and is she at the latter stages, at the early stages? Or?
She would be extremely incapacitated.
Okay.
She would basically be in a hospital bed.
Okay.
And I guess that's maybe I'm so close to the issue.
Okay.
But what I would say on it, or my take on it, would be that bar my husband and my child, there is no other relationship I value as much as the relationship with my mother.
Okay.
Her incapacity... does not decrease her value in this world.
No, absolutely not.
So for that reason, it would be a no for me. Now, I know that it's not per se a life-limiting thing such as cancer, and she wouldn't be in pain as such, but she would have been through the years. And what I would kind of say about it is, the fear when you get given a diagnosis of a progressive illness, countered with the lack of support that there is, I would hate to see people make a decision out of fear. And also the lack of home support. Like, we're so short of home care packages. People may feel that they may not be able to look after themselves and may feel that they cannot continue with their life.
They may feel they're a burden on the state.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
And a burden on society.
100%. So to me, the decisions we can make out of fear... when you look back at that, my mother
is that is that a kind of selfish attitude that we have as human beings, and that you have too? And I don't mean to be bad to you, that
no,
you
no.
believe your feelings in relation to your mother are more important than her feelings. That maybe, you know, if she decided, you know, that she doesn't want to go through with this progressive illness any longer, and she wanted to end it quicker, would you support that?
I know that wouldn't be my mother's belief. I know for a fact that it wouldn't be.
So your mother would say to
the dying
breath.
She'd be quite religious.
Yes.
And she would, yeah. And she's a tough old cookie.
Right, okay.
So even, like, for instance, when she lazily went into a care home, which is a wonderful place, and we had to discuss, you know, they ask everybody when they go in, even though my mum is quite young, about the end of life policy, and is she full resuscitation? And sure, she looked at me, she said, oh, of course.
Yes, keep resuscitating me. Yeah,
100%. Yes, she's, you know. So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we should, if we were a country that assisted people to live and to have that zest for life, and to, but like, there was no support for my mother.
But here's the argument as well, and the same argument come up with abortion. No one's ever going to force your mother to do this.
No
more than they're going to force you as a daughter to assist her to do it.
No,
maybe somebody else might make a different choice to you based on different moral thinking or different religious beliefs or whatever it happens to be. So should they not have the right to do it?
I just worry about the one size fits all, and I know that the struggle to accept an illness. My mom is so accepting and so tough now, and actually the strongest person I know, actually, and so accepting of her illness, but it wasn't always that way.
Okay, I want to just read out some of the texts as well. Say there, please, Roisin and Malachy. I think euthanasia should be 100% legal, says Richie. That said, I think the youth in Ireland should be banned as well. In other words, I'm assuming he means they should be banned from it. But see, Richie, at the end of the day, what you're saying more or less then is that the young people are worth more than the old people because they should be banned from it. It shouldn't be an option for them. Let me just go to Connor as well, who agrees with euthanasia and disagrees with Malachy and Roisin. Sorry, Connor, go ahead.
Yeah, as I was saying there to your researcher, I have an uncle passed. His anniversary is actually next week.
Okay.
But he had a pancreatic cancer, and the last week, the month, but especially the last week of his life was horrific.
Painful to watch, apart from anything else. Yes,
it was horrible for us to watch. But himself, I mean, the man had no dignity, and this man, no, it was an absolute gentleman. I buried my parents; they were young, and he was my mum's younger brother, so he was like a father to me, and his wife, a surrogate mother. And she worked in palliative care. So she got him home to mind him, and he wanted to die at home.
How old was he? How old is he, by the way?
He was 77.
Okay, still loads of life left, normally.
There was plenty, and he was very sick all his life. He was in a very bad car crash when he was quite young. And so they couldn't give him any treatments because of the medication he was on. And I think he actually lived longer for it because he was diagnosed with it, say, 14 months previous. But he soldiered on, battled on. But the last month of his life, and especially the last week, Niall, I was there every night. We were there.
And do you think he wanted to die?
He would have
at that point.
Now, at that point, I mean, when he was told he had cancer and he was going to die, he didn't want to die.
Most people die in pain. In fairness, Connor,
exactly.
I suppose it would be fair to say that most people do die in pain. Some people are lucky enough not to die in pain. They go to sleep in no way. My father fell asleep on Christmas Day and didn't wake up on Stephen's Day. So, yeah. I mean, some people just die in their sleeps, but if we're lucky.
Yes, yeah. Well, as my doctor said, my mother had a massive heart attack, was dead gone in seconds. And he said, you got a first-class ticket out of here.
Yeah.
Now, I was 29. That meant nothing to me. But now I know exactly what he meant from watching, you know, a couple of people.
So you think that your uncle should have been allowed to make a decision if he wanted to?
Definitely. If my uncle had been told, this is the way you're going to die, my uncle would have said, well, I'll tell you what, in the last month of this, just give me a tablet and let me go sleep. Definitely. 100%.
Okay, well, hang on very quickly. Malachy, I mean, that's a good point that Connor raises. A lot of people die in a lot of pain. There isn't an alternative apart from giving them some dignity to die by, you know, medical intervention.
Well, the whole concept of palliative care and, you know, the hospice movement and all of that is that people who have cancer and life-threatening conditions do die with dignity. And I know the argument about morphine and somebody was trying to argue that that's effectively euthanasia. It's not. I mean, the amount of pain that people are in...
The morphine doesn't always kill the pain, by the way.
No, but they require a greater and greater amount of pain relief. So in the end, it's the overdose of morphine that does kill them. But it's because the pain is so intense that...
Mm. By the way, they would be destined to die anyway. We know that. But in saying that, you know, a lot of people, for a lot of people, the morphine doesn't kill the pain.
No, and but for those few cases, you know, are we going... You see, this is all...
It's not just a few cases. There's a lot of uncles like Connors around. There's a lot of mams and dads, mams like Roisin's and... You know, there's a lot of people around who are in excruciating pain. Well, Roisin's mum is not in too much pain, but there's a lot of people in excruciating pain who are a life-limiting condition. And some of those people don't have the same moral view or principles as you have. And they say, well, look, just give me something. I want to go asleep and not wake up again.
Well, I mean, many of these people would have sufficient tablets there if they wish to do that themselves. But you see, this is not a...
That's not very dignified, is it?
Well, you see, you can't have it both ways. You know... What they want and what this whole agenda is about saying that society should accept that human life in itself, and this is not any religious argument, but surely to God we do value human life at all its stages.
But we do.
We also value
our own lives most of the time, but unfortunately when...
We don't value somebody else's life, but...
But we do. Well, I should hope we all do value each other's lives. Well, with conditions. But I think we do value our own lives as well. But when we get to a point where, you know, we're extremely sick or terminally ill, sometimes we feel were better off just going asleep and giving in. And there are people who want to do that. Stay there, Malachy, for a second. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. I'll just take one or two more calls after the break as well. Send me Conor too and Roisin if you can. It seems like both Roisin and Malachy might have changed people's minds in the way they think about this. And this is what debate is all about when we do get close to a time when maybe we'll have to vote on this, or we'll have to lobby our government if it is indeed the Oireachtas Committee that will change the rules. Have a listen to some of the WhatsApp messages.
How's it going, man? My mother only died there in July of pancreas cancer. She was on palliative care. She was a sound mind and she was in terrible pain. If she had asked me and it was legal and stuff like that to give her a couple of tablets and let her be done with the pain, I'd have done it in a heartbeat, just knowing what she was going through. She never wanted to leave us. So, you know, if she's in so much pain and she wanted to go, I would have done it for her.
Yeah, pain and suffering seems to be the main reason.
Niall, suicide is a topic that's close to my heart. And I'd like to give my opinion on the topic at hand in terms of euthanasia. I do fully support the idea. I just think it's, you know, going back to when people are teenagers and they're using the whole, you know, I want to get a tattoo, I want to get a piercing, it's my body, I can do what I want with it, it's my choice. And again, to revert back to the Eighth Amendment, you know, you're giving a human being in this country the power to make a decision over whether a child, an unborn child, can live or die. You know, you give someone that power to make that decision to terminate a life. Why not, and in some cases, not even when they're older, but why not when these people are older? Give them the power to make that choice about their own life.
Well, what about that, Roisin or Malachy? You know, the world is all about at the moment, this progressive world we live in is all about choice and giving people choices over their own autonomy, so to speak. And the argument he's making is, why not give them that choice?
Well, we're not stopping somebody having a choice.
But
I'm not arguing against it. I'm not saying that somebody shouldn't take their own life if they feel they need to. But what this
and
is
well,
about...
By the way, can I point out, you know, we wouldn't believe anybody needs to do that. And obviously we will give out numbers at the end of the show for anybody who finds themselves in that situation where they need to talk to somebody.
Well, what this debate is about saying that society and that citizens in this state should say that it's okay for somebody's life to be ended for any reason. And it's about trying to get social acceptance for something that most people believe at the back of their mind, just as they do in relation to abortion. Most people, when they sit down at night, when they're going to sleep, they know it's wrong. And if we put this...
Well, hang on, sorry, just I want to bring Roisin in before I finish as well. Roisin, you know, I am looking at some of the text in. Some people are agreeing with you. And agreeing with Malachy as well, because Malachy and yourself seem to have a very similar view on this. But they are saying that's your view, that's your moral view, and that's fine. You go ahead and vote no if that was the case.
Yeah.
But what about other people who want to make that choice? You're taking that opportunity away from them.
I just wonder, the sound, and I know what you're saying, sound mind per se, but to me, it's a lot of fear. Think about when anybody's diagnosed with cancer or an illness, it's, will I live? Will I survive? I want to fight this. People want to live. We inherently want to live. We have adrenaline.
It's a human instinct, yes.
Flight instinct. Yeah. And I just wonder,
self-preservation
when
is fighting, the human instinct.
When you just get tired of fighting, is there any way to convince somebody that life is measured in so many different ways? That's my only point. And live and let live, pardon the, you know, like considering what we're talking about. I'm not talking about cancer. I'm not talking about where somebody is going to die in excruciating pain. I believe humanity should step in there, but we can't make it just for terminal illness. It will have to be for life limiting also. And from my personal experience, it'd be a no vote from me.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Malachy. Sorry, Malachy, you want to say a final word?
Yeah,
there?
Just one final point. If we put this in the context of society where it is now, where we have total breakdown in families, right, and this has been a deliberate policy of the cultural Marxists and the, you know, these people who describe themselves as progressive, in that by and large, people now don't want to or are not in a position to because of financial reasons, but in general, people have full-time jobs, are trying to pay a mortgage, that people who become ill are farmed out, and I use that in inverted commas, farmed off into nursing homes and big businesses. I mean, there's a huge business in nursing homes at this stage, one of the most profitable sections of business at the minute. And they're farmed off. So there's a detachment then in many cases from the person.
A lot of those people who go into nursing homes have to go into nursing
homes. Well, no, an awful lot of them don't have to.
A lot of them don't, no.
A lot of them go.
So what are you saying, that some older people just become an inconvenience?
Yes, and I'm saying that people go
in
into nursing
cases,
homes
in some cases, to a degree.
Because people think that they're not able to look after them, or haven't got the time to do it, or in some cases just don't want to and see them as a burden. Okay. So there's a detachment, and you'd be surprised the amount of people in nursing homes who never get a visitor.
Well, I'm pretty sure that is the case, Malik, and I do understand the point you're trying to make about devaluing the elderly. All right, listen, by the way, if you have been affected by anything we've discussed today in relation to the show, in relation to be it assisted death or euthanasia or indeed depression or suicide, you can contact Pieta House. The number is 1-800-247-247, or indeed you can contact the Samaritans, and their number is 116-123. That's 116-123.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.